Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Paid at McDonald's. Limited time offer. Single item at regular price.
Little bit of football, little bit of basketball, a whole lot of baseball. It's all coming up on a jam-packed Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Coming your way on KGYM. And from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, Gym Class, kicking things off here on KGYM, your local programming block here on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann with you here today. Plenty to get to. Men's basketball schedule for the Iowa Hawkeyes and the rest of the Big Ten is out. One big difference in 2018-2019 that we will get your opinion on coming up here in just a little bit. Baseball, a crazy, crazy day. We thought the trade deadline was done. We're not even close to that. We're going to talk about that with Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago. Both on the north side and on the south side, and then in St. Louis as well. Big happenings going on today. And then the coordinators met with the media today in Iowa City after Iowa football practice this morning. That would be Phil Parker on the defensive side, Brian Ferentz on the offensive side, and special teams coordinator LeVar Woods all met with the media today. Man alive, Mark, where do you start on a Tuesday like this? How you doing?
Pick a spot, and we'll roll from there. And, yeah, very newsy day. The Cubs making a move and getting, a guy that's really been their nemesis in the postseason at least 3 years ago in 2015, Daniel Murphy. He was the MVP of that NLCS for the Mets. Now he comes over to the Cubs for a prospect, maybe a player to be named later, maybe cash. We shall see. And then your Chicago White Sox, very anticipated game tonight against the Minnesota Twins.
Michael Kopech will be out on the mound tonight with his 100-mile-per-hour fastballs. We'll see how it goes against the Twins. We'll have the game for you tonight, Twins and White Sox from Chicago. We'll join up at 7 o'clock with the Twins Network and 7:10 with the first pitch tonight. Steven Gonsalves last night, former Cedar Rapids Colonel, high prospect for the Minnesota Twins, pitched in the game. It was delayed a little bit by rain at Target Field. Good first inning, not so good second inning. And, it is what it is. Steven's going to be fine, though. He'll get plenty more chances, trust me.
I think, by and large, this is the way debuts go, isn't it? I mean, either you're really good or you struggle. And there's obviously going to be nerves on Kopech's part tonight, I would think. And I guess one good thing is that very few of the Twins have probably seen him in the minor leagues. Some have, most haven't. And he brings that 9,500-mile-an-hour fastball. He struck out 170 in 126 innings in AAA. That's pretty special.
He's gotten basically, and I've wrestled with this as a White Sox fan, is it time to bring him up? Is it time to start the clock? Is it time to get things rolling? And I guess it is, because if you're a pitcher, you really don't know. You don't know how many.
See what you have.
Exactly. And you don't know how many throws you have in your arm at this point. It's not going to help the White Sox season or anything like that, but it's a chance to make a little splash, or at least it was until all this other stuff happened today. But Michael Kopech, he's got nothing else to prove in AAA. He's got nothing else to prove in the minor leagues. So it's time to come up and see what you can do against major league opposition. And that's what the White Sox are going to do tonight. They'll throw him out there, and they'll throw him at home, which is, I think, the best possible way to do it, and see how it all plays out as he takes to the mound tonight at on the south side.
I hope he has a better second game than the first game.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your sentiments on that one. If you would like to comment on Kopech, 319-366-1600 or the Cub trade. Cardinals got into it today as well. They welcome back Big Country, Matt Adams, to St. Louis as Washington opened up the garage sale today. As the as pretty much says, what's this also say about the Nationals and their pursuit of Bryce Harper into the offseason? I mean, are we
seeing... for one thing, this season they're passing in the songbooks.
Exactly. Now, does that mean they're passing in the songbooks on the future? Does that mean they're going in a different direction? Does that mean they knew right away that Bryce Harper wasn't going to be around next year in a Washington Nationals uniform? So there are a lot of questions in the nation's capital right now. Have to be the most disappointing baseball team of 2018.
I would agree. And who knows what's going to happen with Harper. I know he was floated out there on waivers. The Dodgers made a claim, and Nats could put a kibosh to that. I think it's really interesting. Some of the best players in baseball are put on waivers all the time, and you never hear about it.
No.
And 319-366-1600, our Hertzine and Stocker Jeweler text line. Kyle Mann ready in between bites of his lunch to take your phone calls across the glass. Kyle, our producer today. 1753, so with Kopech being up, is the rebuild finally complete?
No, 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 no. It's not even this is really
it's the beginning, isn't it?
This is just the beginning. A lot of people anticipating Eloy Jimenez is coming up in September. He's put up monster numbers in AAA, AA this year. And September is just fine when the rosters expand. No problem with that.
Giolito pitched last night. Is he a guy you're looking forward to the next 3, 4, 5 years?
Absolutely, but you got to throw it over the plate. And when he throws it over the plate, he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And when he doesn't throw it over the plate, he ain't so good.
91-21 on the text line. I'm glad Daniel Murphy is with the Cubs now. That guy still gives me nightmares from 3 years ago. Daniel Murphy was 9 of 17, I think, with 4 home runs.
4 at least.
In that series against the Cubs.
Yeah. Now, what does this all mean? We're going to talk to Chris Emma about that coming up here in just a little bit. Because there are pieces moving around. Another infielder coming in. Somebody's not going to play, and that right now looks like it's Addison Russell.
Well, Murphy's a second baseman by trade. He's played first. He's played third.
Does this also mean Chris Bryant's hurt a lot more than people are letting on?
It very well could be. You're not going to move Baez off second, I don't think, with any regularity unless Baez goes to
third.
He's
going to go to, well, or short.
Or short.
At this point.
And you're saying Russell may be on the sidelines.
Somebody's got to. They can't play them all. Can't play them all at this point. And then
Murphy hasn't had a great year, but he's been pretty good the last couple months.
Yeah. And maybe he'll pull a Cole Hamels here. And
you know what happens when players get to the Cubs, Scott?
There's some magical in this.
What's happened to David Bodie now?
Since you.
What happened to Bodie?
Well,
what does that mean for Bodie?
He's not going to.
That's the big
probably
question.
Probably play a whole lot, would be my guess. We're going to find out with Chris Emma coming up here in just a little bit. Want to get to this. I mentioned the coordinators. We'll talk about that before 4 o'clock here today from Iowa City today. But the Big Ten Network put out a big schedule release show at 2 o'clock for men's and women's basketball. We do the women's schedule. We'll have that for you here before 4 o'clock today as well. Men's schedule is out, and it is very interesting, and quite frankly, I think it stinks as far as a few things are concerned.
Okay, high school guy.
Well, what did the High School Football Coaches Association do when they threatened to put Friday night football games in the schedule?
Mm-hmm.
And who won?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got Friday night basketball now in the Big Ten Conference starting this year, and you can thank the Big Ten Network for that. Other than that, it's kind of a complete 180 from last year's schedule where there were so many week night games, late games, and or early games, 6 o'clock tip-off, 5:30 tip-off, or an 8 o'clock tip-off. 8 weekend games now in the Big Ten slate for the Iowa men's basketball team. But 3 Friday night home games. And right now I can hear the Iowa Basketball Coaches Association. I can see the hairs on the back of their neck standing straight up at about this time.
Well, as you and I discussed, there's actually 4, but that doesn't, that the fourth one is before the high school season begins. That's November 16th against either UConn or Syracuse out of New York. But with the Big Ten schedule out, Iowa opens at home Friday night, November 30th, against Wisconsin. Don't see a game time there yet.
No game times have been put out yet.
But also Friday, February 22nd, home against Indiana, and Friday, February 1st, home against Michigan. You know, I agree. It's not ideal for those who follow high school sports. I don't know if you have a 6 o'clock game, if it's ideal for fans who might have to work till 5 o'clock. I don't know. Tell us, 319-366-1600.
Much like the 1 o'clock start in football, we are not going to see the Big Ten basketball schedule be a Tuesday or Wednesday game and a Saturday game anymore.
Poll question at KGYMradio.com has to do with this topic brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. How do you feel about Friday night Big Ten hoops? And we're borrowing from the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn with the responses. Love it or leave it. One or the other. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway. Love it. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Yeah. I
don't like it.
You don't need Friday night Big Ten basketball games. You just don't, for the sake of putting programming on the Big Ten Network.
Mm-hmm.
Show your little food things at the Big Ten Big Ten football stadiums.
Well, the flip side is that more weekend games. And any season ticket holder, I would think, would embrace that. And any follower of Iowa basketball or Big Ten basketball would appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
The weeknight games, especially 8 o'clock games during the week, are tough.
They are tough. They are. And 6 o'clock games are no picnic either for getting from work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
If you're traveling from Des Moines, you're leaving town at what, 3 o'clock?
If you want to get there in time. If you want to get there
for
in time.
For a 6 o'clock game.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, 316. Coming up in the program, we have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away. Courtesy of Steve, everybody down the hill at Dr. Pepper, a 24-pack of regular or Diet Dr. Pepper. Plus, you'll get a Dr. Pepper t-shirt plus KGYM pint glass, those world-famous pint glasses. We'll have your opportunity to win that coming up before 4 o'clock today. When we come back, going to talk some baseball. Maybe you have a Bears question or two, I know, for Chris Emma. 670 The Score in Chicago. And plenty happening in the Windy City today on the north side and on the south side. We'll talk about it when we come back.
All right, folks, we all know the Iowa-Iowa State game is coming up. So here at C.P. Hoyt Jewelers, we're going to make it real interesting. It all starts with our huge kickoff sale Friday, August 24th through Sunday the 26th. So definitely come in and buy some jewelry and save up to 25% off that weekend. Then, if the returner takes the opening kickoff all the way in the Iowa-Iowa State game, your purchase of incredible C.P. Hoyt jewelry from that weekend is absolutely free. Yep, if he takes it all the way, you don't pay. It's 3 days only. And of course, in Siebke Hoyt style, there'll be great savings, great food, and other great prizes, like game tickets. It's the 7th annual kickoff sale, Friday through Sunday, August 26th, at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, where Cedar Rapids gets engaged. And if he takes it all the way, you don't pay.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Right now at Menards, get 11% off everything, including Dutch Boy paint.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out CarpentersUnionApprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Back on the gym class here at KGYM, we are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Locally owned and operated, stop on by. Our poll question deals with Big Ten men's basketball on Friday nights. We're going to get Mike and Marion in with a comment before we turn it over to Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, sir. How are you and Mark? Are you and Mark ready for Wednesday night bowling?
Like it or not, yes, Mike.
We are ready.
Oh, I'm just waiting to sub out there. I love to bowl against you guys. Okay, on this deal, I think, like I told the gentleman, I think it is the most idiotic thing I've heard the Big Ten do. Have they do not take the consideration of the parents that have kids in high school basketball and also go to Iowa games in consideration? They're going to make them choose. And I can tell you right now, most of them are going to choose their kids. Mm-hmm. I think it's really going to hurt not just at Iowa, but every Big Ten conference school. It's going to hurt their attendance. They're going to pick between their kids. I mean, you would think they would pick between their kids. I would.
I would take my kids.
Yeah, I think it's really going to hurt. It's going to hurt sales. It's, you know, it's they're not going to have a sellout.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
And it's going to be way down.
And they're doing it, you know, this is a Big Ten network pushing this. We all know that. And they need the programming on Friday nights and just to help out and help out the sponsorship there. So
for that segment of the folks that are going to typically go to an Iowa game, I couldn't agree more, Mike. You're going to choose your kids.
And do the people that made the decision, do they have kids in high school? No, they don't. I'll bet you they don't.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't mean to be vindictive, but what I'm saying is it's just going to hurt. It's going to hurt the attendance at these games.
Yep. Well, we'll see. I know the Coaches Association rose up against Friday night Big Ten football in Iowa and probably going to do the same here. But hey, Mike, appreciate it. We'll see you on the lanes, man.
Thank you, sir. See you later.
All right, Mike calling in there. 319-366-1600, Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line.
Hockey guy has a different perspective. The Pac-12 does this. They do Friday-Sunday games or Thursday-Saturday. It's less demanding on students and fans. The students miss less classes.
I'm sure that's why the Big Ten did this. Chris Emma joining us from 670 The Score in Chicago. Big happenings today. And that's outside the Big Ten schedule release for the men's and women's. North side, south side of Chicago, doesn't matter. Everybody is looking forward to baseball, I think, coming up tonight. Chris, how you doing?
Boy, it's good to be with you.
You bet. And, it was Michael Kopech for a while, and then all of a sudden the Cubs this afternoon said, not so fast, we're going to make this announcement of Daniel Murphy coming in. So let's talk about Kopech first, and this is, I guess, the first part of the rebuild on the south side, isn't it? Or maybe the second, at least, step as far as the White Sox bringing in some of this top flight talent.
Yeah, well, you know, when you mentioned the two names in vain, bringing them together, Daniel Murphy and Michael Kopech, it reflects organizations in very, very different places where the Cubs are going for a rental piece, and here are the Sox now, kind of the first day of the rest of the rebuild, if you will, where look, I mean, this kid's got monstrous expectations, and it's not just because of his stuff, but the way that he's been developed, everything that kind of goes through his name and his prospect rankings. This kid's got potential to be a Cy Young candidate year in, year out. He's got more development ahead of him, and this is the next step. Look, we know these circumstances surrounding the White Sox, and it's a team that's been really fighting for its future, and there's not been much buzz around the ballpark as much as there has been whatever the ballpark's called in Charlotte. It's been a lot more interest at the AAA level than the Major League level until tonight. And you know what? There's a really good excitement around Chicago for this. I'm currently en route to the ballpark right now, heading down from the Bears facility. So I'm excited to get down to what should be an energetic guaranteed rate field and an energetic field around the south side.
We'll talk a little Bears in a little bit, but Chris, Daniel Murphy, a second baseman by trade. We hear Addison Russell might have some hand problems. How do you expect the Cubs to utilize Murphy?
Yeah, you know, this move is notable to me not only with what they acquire and a 300 hitter in Murphy and a guy who can ideally plug some of the holes left in this lineup that's really been struggling lately. But what stood out to me was the fact that this is the organization more or less giving up on one of the players they brought in, Addison Russell. We saw that kind of with Jorge Soler, a player that they traded away before last season to acquire Wade Davis and solidify a win-now player with Davis in a one-year deal to be the closer and to be a reason this team could win the division last year. But no, it's another one. I mean, it's trading away a young piece that, you know, was a key acquisition for them back in 2014 and really kind of helped accelerate the Cubs' rebuild. And I see this as kind of the beginning of the end for Addison Russell. I mean, he's going to be, I'd imagine, and I haven't heard this, you know, from anybody in particular, and the Cubs haven't really made any kind of formal announcement to Russell's situation, but he'll probably be a reserve middle infielder now. He'll get some starts at short. He'll get some starts at second, probably. I think that's his role for this 2018 season as it continues on, ideally for the Cubs into the postseason. And I don't think he's really a part of this ball club next year. Daniel Murphy's he's a rental piece. His contract expires after this year. So he's just a guy to help this team try to get to the World Series once again. I think the way I look at it, Javi Baez is probably the shortstop moving forward here. Maybe it could be somebody like David Bodie that's your second baseman every day from here on out.
Yeah, what's this also say? Does it say anything? Or are we reading the tea leaves too much about Chris Bryant and his health right now?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't look into that too much. Theo Epstein said on our station here in Chicago last week that they believe that, you know, his shoulder won't need to be surgically repaired in the offseason, but it's also something that they haven't exactly ruled out. So, I have questions like everybody else does about how effective Chris Bryant's going to be the rest of the year. Now, that's graded to a scale because he is Chris Bryant. I mean, he could still be a very good player, but just not the player you're counting on the rest of the year. It's important for this team to add a reliable, steady bat to the top of the order in Daniel Murphy. And, you know, you can plug him anywhere, 1-3, and feel really good about the way this lineup makes out now. And that wasn't the case here the last month or whatever without Bryant, where, you know, it's just a different look without him. I mean, the Anthony Rizzo thing in the leadoff spot, it's cute, it's funny, whatever. But it wasn't working out because then you don't have the lineup, the RBI production in the middle of the order. And they don't have an actual leadoff man. I mean, you miss somebody like the 2016 Dexter Fowler at the top of the order. Where you set your watch to that production. The Cubs don't have that guy. So Murphy gives them another important bat. The way I look at it more so, if Murphy's going to be your starting second baseman, Ben Zobrist will probably be a more regular piece in the outfield where maybe he gets some more time out of the left field to get some spots in right field when it's a lefty pitcher and Hayward's on the bench. First half of the season, but he's been inconsistent in the second half. Ian Happ's been holding down. He's been a lot better lately. He's been struggling here lately as well. And Hayward, I mean, you know, I think they've probably gotten the best out of him offensively, but you look all down this lineup and, you know, there's really not a lot you can count on aside from probably Javi Baez and Anthony Rizzo.
Chris, you surprised in the least that the Cubs have done as well as they have without, in large part, Yu Darvish?
Yeah, yes and no. It's a fascinating team. I mean, you know, last year they got all the bad baseball out of the way, and then they just kind of soared through the second half. So this year it's been so scattered. I mean, it's amazing, this team. You know, you put up 4 solo homers and 4 runs in 4 games in Pittsburgh, and but at the same time you can count on this offense putting up 10 runs or 0 runs on any given day. I mean, anywhere in between. You have guys in Javi Baez and Jason Hayward having their best years in a Cubs uniform. You have Anthony Rizzo's been heating up after a slow start. They've been without Chris Bryant, but know what he can be. There's so many ups and downs, ebbs and flows within individual performances, where last year it was just a collective failure as they went through that proverbial World Series hangover. I don't know what this team is. I don't know on any given night what this team is. I mean, you look at the back of the baseball card and you feel really good about this lineup, and then you see the individual scuffles and you know, the problems that some of these guys have had. And then you go into the rotation. You mentioned, you know, Yu Darvish, but it's more than that. I mean, it's Kyle Hendricks lacking his fastball command entirely on certain nights. He's been better as of late. But Tyler Chatwood, the experiment was a disaster. You don't even want him out of the bullpen, much less as a starter. You know, Cole Hamels has been good, but I think you got to keep knocking on wood when he's pitching. John Lester was really bad for his stretch. So it's amazing. I mean, this team has so many good accomplished players that have been inconsistent throughout the year, and yet here they are still the best team in the National League. So I don't know. I don't get it. This team has been very confusing. This entire season has been, you know, at this point, get to October and see what you got.
Who do you think is going to put more pressure on the Cubs, the Brewers or the Cardinals?
I think the Brewers still, you know, the Cardinals have been red hot. They've been playing good ball. Matt Carpenter, what happened to this guy? He's been unbelievable since, you know, a couple months now. I love their pitching, too. I mean, Jack Flaherty is a really impressive young arm. I mean, they got some good arms there, some good pieces, but I just think they're more the team we've seen the first Mike Matheny than it is the team we've seen the last few weeks. The Brewers have so many good young pieces. They got kind of a weird lineup. And I asked Bill Madden about this last week, and he's fascinated by it, too, because they got all the matchups you can play, and Craig Counsell's got it working now. And I was watching that game last night where they really have to rely on those defensive replacements, specifically in the middle infield. It's interesting to watch the way that Counsell's now forced to manage this team, but that lineup's got such depth. Bill Madden called it sick, and I completely agree. Their last in the NL Central, even as inconsistent as they've been, but the Brewers will be there right down to the end. I think the Cardinals will be in striking distance when it's all said and done, but I just don't think they have enough.
Getting back to the White Sox before Mark asks a Bears question, being the Bears fan that he is, I got to get my White Sox questions in here. Obviously, Kopech coming up tonight. I got to think Eloy Jimenez is coming up in September. Probably for good, the way it'll be. I imagine he'll be in the lineup coming up in 2019. It's starting to happen anyway. And how patient do the White Sox fans have to be? Because I know they want to see improvement. I know they want to see results right away. But it is still going to take a while.
Yeah, you know, the Eloy Jimenez part is interesting, an element of tonight where, you know, he and Kopech have been linked together because these are two of the most accomplished young prospects they have. Already, two guys have torn up the minor leagues. Eloy in particular has shown he's absolutely ready for this level. And yet, I don't think we'll see him until April of 2019. It's all about the service time, and it's all about extending the window even further. His situation is different from Kopech's in that you only have so many pitches you can really throw in that arm. You worry about preservation. It doesn't do much good to build up, you know, to build up the innings in AAA when they can do it at the major leagues and get them accustomed to this level of competition where, you know, Kopech can go in next year and potentially shoot for that 200 inning mark if all goes accordingly. Jimenez, it's all about the service time. I get it. I don't necessarily agree with it from a player's perspective, but I do understand it and certainly appreciate it from an organizational perspective where, when you're doing these rebuilds the same way the Cubs did it and handled the Chris Bryant situation, it's not right, it's not fair, but it's collectively bargained, and you know Eloy has no choice. So I don't think he's going to be up in September. If it was a matter of readiness, I think we could have made that call up any time in the last couple months. But you know, look, this kid's got unbelievable potential. The bat is electric. I really see what this kid can be, and it's really something special for the White Sox. But, you know, fan base has to be patient with him the way that they've been kind of through this whole process.
Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago joining us on the Gym Class 333. Chris, Roquan Smith recently signed with the Bears. I know he hasn't had a lot of practice time, but what have you seen so far?
You know, it's been interesting. They're getting him accustomed. They're very, you know, they're doing the best they can to just get him acclimated with this defense and with these schemes. It's baby steps right now. It really is. I mean, I just left practice about an hour ago, and he's still getting situated. I don't see him being, you know, I think he'll probably play this Saturday, but I'm not quite sure of that yet. I still think he's going to be the starter come week one just because of the pedigree and the SEC background. You're talking about a Butkus Award winner, SEC Player of the Year, All-American, et cetera. This kid's a stud, but he's also got a conditioning level he has to establish, and the Bears are being very, very cautious with that right now. You know, he's been studying the playbook. When he was down in Georgia, he was training with the University of Georgia strength and conditioning staff, and he's got somewhat of a readiness, but it's also much, much different when you get out to the practice field, or especially a game field, and you have to react to what you've seen on film at full speed. Specifically at that position of inside linebacker for Vic Fangio's defense, you have to be calling the plays, realize where other people are supposed to be. The attention to detail and the detail of all these assignments is much greater than if he were a safety or a defensive end. It's a major learning curve that he has to establish. And he's just ready, you know, talking today. He said he feels very comfortable about making this transition. Likes where he's at, confident in his conditioning level, but the Bears are really kind of looking at this closely and making sure that he's 100% there. So I think ultimately none of this will matter when you're talking about his rookie season, when you're talking about his career as a whole. This kid's got a ton of potential, but like we mentioned with the White Sox kids, I mean, you got to kind of wait and see and let this whole thing play out right now.
Knowing he is dealing with a revamped wide receiving core, what do you expect out of Mitch Trubisky this year?
This is where we see what he is. I mean, you're not going to see the fullest potential, but you're going to certainly get a look at whether this kid has, the ability to be a top 10 NFL quarterback, which is what you hope when you draft a kid number 2 overall.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the weapons around him. I mean, you mentioned it. It's Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, who's looked really good throughout the preseason. Trey Burden, Adam Shaheen, if he's healthy, and we'll go more about that fairly shortly here. They got so many pieces around him and put him into position to be successful. It's on him now. I mean, the coaching staff as well, as the schemes are there. He's got everybody around him is there for the benefit of Trubisky. Let's see what he can do. I mean, we know he's got an accurate arm. He's got a great head on his shoulders. The belief's there. I mean, this team really but if he doesn't maximize this group, whether it's this year or going into next year, but certainly starting this year, then you really got to be concerned about what his potential is in the NFL. These quarterbacks, some of them don't get a long leash in this league. So 2018 is going to be very revealing for Trubisky.
Last one here, Chris, before we let you go, and thanks for the time. We do appreciate it. Former Hawkeye James Daniels, what are his chances of maybe grabbing a starting position for the Chicago Bears on that line?
You know, that's a twofold thing, and it's going to be really fascinating to see where that is come practice time for week one. The Bears really have to decide truly on Cody White here as a center. He's had his issues. It's been revealed throughout the preseason. And they stood by this kid. They said very adamantly that he is a center, even though he's shown potential and shown he can play guard. It's curious to me. I would have had James Daniel at center already, to be honest, but he is a guard right now. He's only gotten some reps at center, so he's competing against two established veterans in Eric Cush and Earl Watford. And, he had an injury setback early on. I think that, out of anything else, is really going to hurt his potential as a starter come week one. This team really believes in him. Harry Hiestand, veteran offensive line coach, really spoke highly about the coaching he had received at Iowa and also, the offensive line schemes and how that is so similar to what the Bears run. So, this kid's got – you guys saw it at Iowa. We've seen it a little bit here in Chicago. I mean, potential's there. He plays with great technique. He's fundamentally sound. Wise beyond his years for – the opportunity is going to be knocking for him, but tough competition. I mean, he's got some good veteran pieces there to beat out.
Chris, thank you. Appreciate all the insight. Give him a follow on Twitter at CEMMA670 and keep up the great work in Chicago and look forward to talking with you soon.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
All right. Chris Emma joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Some good stuff right there. For baseball people and football people.
Didn't sound real good for Addison Russell, did it?
As well. No. Somebody's got to be the odd man out in this situation. And, I mean, you can read the tea leaves. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be Addison Russell at this point. But Chris tweeted out earlier today, happy Michael Kopech Day.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the most geared up for a Sox game I've been since April.
So. I hope you're as excited in about 5 or 6 hours as you are now.
Oh, even if it's a disaster, I'm not going to be down on it. It's just going to be fun to see Kopech out there on the mound.
I didn't really say that, did I?
No. I know where you're coming from. All right, 3:38. We'll take a break, talk more about the Hawkeye men's basketball schedule. Women's basketball schedule is out as well for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Don't forget to go to the website and vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll about Friday night men's basketball. Your thoughts about that. Talk a little bit about what the coordinators had to say. Not earth-shattering, but they delivered a little insight today as well as far as the Iowa football team. All that coming up here on the Gym Class here on KGYM. As we go to break, going to give you an opportunity, though, right now to pick up a Dr. Pepper prize pack. 24-pack, either your choice, regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper. Or you can have you get a KGYM pint glass and a Dr. Pepper t-shirt. All that wrapped up into one for caller 6 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
Pros know there's more to a roof than shingles. That's why the Home Depot carries GAF's Lifetime Roofing System. From underlayment and leak barriers to shingles, ventilation, and more. Delivered right to your job site in job lot quantities. For complete roofing systems, get everything you need under one roof. Ours, the Lifetime Roofing System, exclusively from GAF and available at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
It's Smart Rock Jeopardy!
The categories are Smart FM, Smart Rock, I'm a Smart Alex, and Smarty Pants. We begin with our returning champion.
Let's do I'm a Smart Alex for 800.
All right. And it's the Daily Double. Your wager.
All of it.
Wow. Risking everything. Bold. Here's the answer. This radio station plays a copious collection of deep cuts and live tracks.
What is Smart FM?
Correct. We also would have accepted Smart Rock or Smart Rock on Smart FM.
Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up a bottle of Seafoam Motor Treatment on sale for $7.99. Plus, earn double O rewards points. Help your engine run smoother and last longer with Seafoam Motor Treatment on sale now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here, and boy, do I have a deal for you. The deal with this deal is that you get both a breast and a whole wing when you choose my new 100% white meat KFC $5 fill-up deal. You also get dealt mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink with this here deal. I can't keep dealing this deal forever, though, so you have to go to KFC soon to get the two-piece all white meat $5 fill-up, because it's only available for a limited time. Deal? Deal. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Tax extra. Prices may vary. Size may vary by location. Extra charge for breast piece and size substitution may apply.
You've got lots of engines in your life. Cars, yard equipment, ATVs, motorcycles, watercraft, you name it. And they all use fuel and oil. These same fluids that make your engine run also create deposits that reduce performance and gas mileage. Gum Out Multi-System Tune-Up removes these gummy carbon deposits and stabilizes fuel and oil, helping restore performance and fuel economy. Get a can today at just $6.47 at your local Walmart. Gum Out. Science in, performance out.
Congratulations going out to Paul in Center Point. He is our winner. And that of the Dr. Pepper prize pack. And Kyle, is this traffic information for now? Or come on in here, Kyle. I want to make sure I have this just in case. Is this traffic information now or is that yesterday? Yesterday. Okay. My bad. Traffic's fine, everybody.
Stay tuned, though.
Stay tuned. All right. 319-366-1600.
Somebody driving in the left-hand lane of 380. You know.
Don't do that. All right. Today, it was Phil Parker. It was LeVar Woods. It was Brian Ferentz meeting with the media in Iowa City after Hawkeye practice today. And like we said, nothing earth-shattering really coming out. Although there was one pretty big nugget out there. And we talked about it during the break right there, dealing with the running back situation that Brian Ferentz let us in on today.
Appears your starting running back for the Iowa Hawkeyes is Ivory Kelly Martin. a 5'10", 200-pound sophomore who apparently has separated himself from who we thought the starter would be, and that is Torrin Young and incoming transfer Mekhi Sargent. Right now, Kelly Martin is ahead of those two guys, apparently, and will start the season. And Brian Ferentz said, quote, he's got wiggle. He's got some power. He's got really good balance.
There you go.
And apparently he's done a nice job picking up the blitz package in practice. And he's got some speed. There's no doubt about it. He averaged 9.2 yards per carry last year. Small sample size, 20 carries, but he did score 3 touchdowns. And I would imagine you'll see all 3 of those guys.
He's got wiggle.
Got wiggle.
How many times is that going to be used in a story and or a headline this year?
He was destined for greatness. Just said he's got wiggle.
He's got wiggle. Some other things that came out today. Phil Parker on the defensive side kind of hinted a little bit that could see a combination of Nick Neiman at the weak side linebacker position and Barrington Wade at the outside linebacker position. It seems like Barrington Wade has been the guy at linebacker that everyone's kind of keeping their eye on at this point and has pushed himself into significant playing time at this point.
I think you might see 5 or 6 guys back there. Imani Jones has separated himself from the group. Neiman, I think, is right behind that in that regard. But I think you're going to see some interchangeable parts at linebacker.
Mark Morehouse tweeting out from the Gazette earlier on today, putting his ear to the ground. Freshmen who might play the 4 games that you are allowed to play, and that includes quarterback Spencer Petras was in there, as well as Solon's Tyler Linderbaum at the defensive tackle position. And yes, you got to have a little, you know, Brian Ferentz brings a little controversy at times to the dais. Did again today, said, quote, our guys about the suspensions. Said something about getting out of jail on a Thursday and then showing up and playing on a Saturday is not acceptable in Iowa City. And apparently that was throwing a little shade on a couple of other Big Ten institutions.
Michigan State in particular.
Might have been one.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been one that has been the practice at times going down through the era of the program.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Brian will throw one of those out there every once in a while. I wonder if he has to run that by dad or if it's just a situation where
I don't think so.
Where Brian just goes. So you got that. Those 4 guys will be, yes, suspended, will not play in that first game.
You
we knew that
get
going in.
Input from dad later on, but
it's already out there, man. It's already out there. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts, if you have some comments about what the coordinators had to say today for Iowa football. The Iowa men's basketball schedule came out. We talked about that a little bit. That is the subject of our poll question as well at KGYMradio.com. And I wanted to make sure and just see if we can get you the women's basketball schedule, because we did mention the men's basketball schedule there. 8 weekend home games, by the way, for the men's basketball team. And try to find that. I don't know if they've got it put up yet at Hawkeye website or not. We'll try to find that for you here in the next couple of seconds.
Well, the poll question has to do with the men's schedule. And the question is, how do you feel about Friday night Big Ten hoops? And right now, majority, about 70%, are going to leave this.
Don't like it.
And,
I don't like it.
The remainder loves it.
Well,
and a couple comments on the text line in that regard. 0975, it will help attendance. Parents will always go to kids' games, and it's a small segment. Brian and Walford, I'd like the Friday night idea. As far as attendance dropping, pretty hard to lose what you don't have.
If a team wins, people will show up.
Ryan's point, attendance hasn't been great the last couple of years.
No, it has not. But the product on the court at times has been good.
And some of those game times.
have dealt with it as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just that's a 21st century problem that we're going to have as far as basketball is concerned. It's the same thing as the non-conference men's basketball schedule for Power 5 teams. It's not going to go back to the way it was 20 years ago. You're not going to bring in these Power 5 teams. You're not going to bring in even good mid-major teams because you might lose, and it's going to wreck your RPI. You're not going to see 1 o'clock kickoffs anymore, as much as Mark and I hate that, on a Saturday afternoon. It's going to be either 11 o'clock, 2:30. Now Fox bringing in, 4:30 or something like that?
We got 1 o'clock second half kickoffs, right?
We got 1 o'clock second half kickoffs or a night game. It's a 21st century problem. It's just not going to go away. I think we all realize it, and we have to adjust a little bit, but still doesn't make it right. And, again, this is a television-based decision.
Iowa's Big Ten season begins Friday, November 30th, Scott.
Yeah, they're going to have
November 30th.
Yeah, they're going to do that for the second straight year of the two games in late November and then more non-conference and then back to the conference.
The openers are that Friday and then the following Monday at Michigan State. Not an easy couple of games for Iowa to open the season. And then after that, the non-conference portion continues with a game at home against Iowa State and the Hy-Vee Classic in Des Moines against Northern Iowa. And then three games remaining in the non-conference before the Big Ten season resumes January 3rd.
Yeah, that Iowa has a very tough first couple of games with Wisconsin at home and then going on the road to Michigan State. And then you come back at Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
First three are going to be very, very difficult right there. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a final break, come back. I'll tell you about the women's basketball schedule for the Big Ten games and more about Friday night hoops when we return.
It's almost September.
I know.
Pumpkin spice, everything, sweatshirts, football games.
Capital credits.
Yay, September.
Wait, what?
September's Linn County REC's Capital Credit Month.
Oh, wait, is that thing where we get money credited to our bill?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that month. Linn County REC is so cool.
Yeah, since they're a cooperative, when they have profits above what they need to operate, it comes back to members like us on our September bill.
I wonder how much they've given back.
Well, the last I heard, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's incredible.
I know. Wonder how much credit I'll get this year.
Me too.
Let's go get lattes, hang out by the mailbox, and wait for our September bills to come.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
Okay.
When your September bill arrives from Linn County REC, take a look and find out what your capital credit is this year. It's all based on how much electricity you use. Capital credits, just another one of the benefits of membership at Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative. Find out more at linncountyrec.com.
Kevin and Dave here for Mentality Cedar Rapids.
Dave, is low T treatment covered by insurance?
It absolutely can be. If it's recommended by a doctor and you follow the proper guidelines, then insurance covers it.
What I love about testosterone treatment being covered by insurance for our clients in Cedar Rapids, it puts cost of care within reach of every guy.
Most of our guys are blue collar guys, swinging a hammer, police officers, different things like that. It makes it affordable for every man that needs it.
To find out more in our Cedar Rapids clinic, go to lowtusa.com.
Welcome back, Hawkeyes. Iowa Book's goal this week is to make your shopping easy. Iowa Book has added extra staff, extra cash registers, and is open extra hours. You can save money by choosing less expensive used or rental textbooks. Iowa Book also has all your necessary school supplies and Hawkeye gear. And sign up for one of Moped U's most popular mopeds. The drawing will be Friday. Iowa Book is open this Monday through Friday till 9 o'clock. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol since 1920.
Iowa Book! One of a kind bookstore.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association at this station.
We'll be right back. Back in the gym class here on KGYM for the final several minutes here. Don't forget to vote on our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway at KGYMradio.com. By the way, AP All-American preseason team coming out. Noah Fant, first-team All-American at tight end from the University of Iowa. He's been on, I think he's been first-team tight end on every preseason team so far.
You could say consensus, right?
I think so. I think so. Told you about the Big Ten men's basketball schedule. The women's basketball schedule also out. And high expectations for Lisa Bluter's squad coming up this winter. And they do it the old-fashioned way. They haven't split up the Big Ten schedule as of yet. They start on December the 30th. The Iowa women will start off at Michigan State, where they had a honey last year in that game, coming back to win in the last couple minutes. And then a couple of home games, Nebraska and Wisconsin. They head to Purdue, head to Minnesota. Michigan at Illinois. See Vivian Stringer and Rutgers come in on January the 23rd. Iowa takes on then Purdue on the 27th. Head off to Michigan, head off to Penn State. Michigan State back on February the 7th. They go to Ohio State on February the 10th. The only meeting this year between Iowa and Ohio State will be in Columbus. Two of the co-favorites in the Big Ten Conference. And then Iowa home for Illinois on Valentine's night. February 17th, Coach Freeze and Maryland come in. So Iowa and Maryland only meet once this year. It's a very friendly schedule for the Iowa women this year. Then at Indiana, at Nebraska, and then the Hawks close March 3rd against Northwestern.
Non-conference game, though, against likely number one ranked Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, absolutely. Absolutely. So that will be a tough one. That's going to be a tough one. 319-366-1600. And again, if you missed it, the Iowa men's basketball schedule coming out for the Big Ten games, highlighted by three Friday night Big Ten games, one on Friday, November the 30th against Wisconsin, Friday, February 1st against Michigan, Friday night, February 22nd against the Indiana Hoosiers. Iowa closes the regular season at home Saturday, March 2nd against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. They do go to Rutgers as well. That's a double this year for the Hawkeyes. 20-game Big Ten schedule, remember, this year.
Tomorrow, we're expecting news out of Columbus, Ohio, on Urban Meyer's fate. The Board of Regents meet, and likely discussion on that during the Wednesday edition of the gym class. In addition to the final edition of the year of Caddy Smack.
Yep, we will have Brian Haas, hopefully via the phone line, coming up tomorrow. Brian is going to join us from California, sunny San Diego. So we'll get your final time this year to get your questions in for Brian. We'll talk a little bit about the FedEx Cup playoffs. But, yeah, we should have Urban Meyer news coming up tomorrow. And what's going to happen, we shall see. Let's go to – we got Eugene ready to go? We had him. Mm-hmm. Kyle's talking with him right now. Yeah, we can get him on. Let's go to you. We'll bring in Eugene here for the last minute of the program here today at 319-366-1600. Hi, Eugene. How you doing?
Hey, I just have a quick question. I was watching Howard Griffin's interview yesterday with Coach Ferentz, and he had said something about the freshman redshirt rule. Mm-hmm. And I was under the impression it had to be during the first four games, but Howard Griffin made it sound like it could be any time during the season. And I was just looking to see if you guys had a clarification on that.
That's correct. It can be.
Hang up and listen.
Yeah, correct. It can be any time during the season.
Yeah, any time during the year. So if you want to play your freshman the first four games, you can do that. You want to play in the middle four games, you can do that. You want to play them in the bowl game and potential Big Ten championship game?
Exactly.
So be it.
Yeah.
No, you can play it at any time. So, yeah, there's a clarification on that. Caddy Smack coming up tomorrow. Urban Meyer decision day coming up tomorrow as well. More with the coordinators coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's coming your way next right here on KGYM. Michael Kopech and the Sox against the Twins tonight at 7.
It's the Ford Summer Sales Event. And now, while selection is best, it's the best time to buy. With amazing offers across a full lineup of Ford vehicles, now is the time.